Hey, everybody, I'm Matt Major from Growth Mode Content, and I am honored to once again co-host The Details in the Deal. This is one of my favorite podcasts that we make here at Growth Mode Content. As always, the star of the show, the host of the show, I'm just the co-host on this thing, Christine O'Connell Moore joins us again. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so happy that you invited me back again. This is so much fun.
You're my brother in real estate.
I try to be.
You love it.
One day I'll even buy something for you. So this, you know, all your efforts will be not lost.
We're looking at options.
It is. That's, yeah. Christine, we got a fun show today. People aren't going to have to listen to just me. You've got a couple of guests coming on. You want to give us a little preview of who they're going to hear?
I'm happy to. I'm really excited about the guests today also. So my first guest, when you and I are done with our segment, will be Harry Harkaway. Harry's a friend. He's broker and owner of Harkaway Commercial Real Estate.
Wow.
And he and I have co-broked on a pretty cool building that we're going to talk about in downtown Syracuse. And Harry's going to be on to talk about his company a little bit. He does a lot of office work, office leasing, office sales, and we'll talk with Harry in just a little bit.
Nice.
Yes. And then later in the show, we're going to talk to Robin Cortese.
Oh.
And I know that you know Robin.
My good friend Robin.
She's fabulous. I don't know many people. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Robin.
Yeah.
She's very cool. She's the Visit Syracuse brand champion and community marketing executive, and she's all about Syracuse. And when I say Syracuse, I really mean the region.
Yeah.
Onondaga County, Central New York, and Robin's going to tell us about what's going on with Visit Syracuse, how they're getting ready for the growth that we're expecting in the Syracuse area, and how they can help people who are purchasing properties and businesses in the area.
I love it. I'm excited for that interview. Visit Syracuse is we've talked to them many times, and I get to say they get to have fun for a living. You know, everything fun and interesting.
Yes.
In our area, Visit Syracuse is a part of, so that's kind of neat.
I went through their brochure to snip some pictures that we could show on the videos and on the podcast, and I had to stop eventually because there were just so many cool things to snip pictures of, and all things I love, like the zoo and the new aquarium that's coming, and all the things to do in upstate New York.
That's going to be awesome. So before we dive into those, Christine, let's get the what's become kind of the traditional update, right? Let's talk about some properties here in the greater Syracuse, Central New York area. What do we got happening?
Well, the first property I want to talk about is the Knissen Crick Building. It's on Pearl Street in downtown Syracuse, just on the edge of downtown Syracuse. If you know where the Nettleton Commons building is and you know where you get onto 81 on Pearl Street, it's right there. At one point, it was attached to Nettleton Commons, and it is a machine shop, three floors.
Oh, wow.
Built beautifully. You know, it was built in the 1920s. It is ready for a new owner and perhaps something new within it. So we have people looking at it to buy it to continue to do machine shop business over there. We also have some floor plans that show 20-plus apartments in the building. And Harriet Harkaway and I are going to talk more about it, but it's a very cool building that I think is going to draw a lot of attention for renovations, and now especially because we know more about what's happening with 81, and that's going to be really helpful.
Yeah, no, that's pretty neat. You know, a lot of these buildings down there that you've heard of or seen over the years have already been converted to apartments or different things. It's interesting to hear that that's still sort of the original use. Manufacturing is basically how it's still laid out?
Yes, and the company that's there has been there for almost 100 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes, which is just amazing to me. And you can, when you walk in the building, you can feel the history of the building.
I love that.
And I think it'd be really cool to see what happens to it. And I don't want to get ahead of our story with Harry, but there's definitely parking opportunities there, which you don't find with all buildings in town. So that's a real advantage.
They've got that. Do they own that sort of parking lot across the street that's like almost, I feel like it's the exit to get on 81 every time and I have to turn the right way?
We tried to buy it.
Yeah? Oh, really?
But the state owns it.
You know exactly which one I'm talking about.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. And many tenants at Nettleton Commons have used that over the years, have leased it. But right now, the state is saving that to until 81 is finished.
I see.
Because they may need it for something.
Gotcha.
And if nothing else, for construction equipment.
That's fair.
So, that's fair. But I think a lot of people have been by this building hundreds and hundreds of times, getting onto Route 81 and really not realized what was going on there.
You know, until you described to me where it was, I could, you know, and for those who maybe have been around Syracuse, again, like you're saying, you've driven by and didn't realize, you get on 81, there's that little, it's just the tiniest piece of street.
Yes.
And this building occupies basically all of it, right? I guess right. that you drive by.
It's one way from State Street. And then you, or not State, I'm sorry, a street right off of State Street. And then you, and then it becomes two-way over to State Street. And if those of a certain age will remember that there were discos on that street.
Oh, wow.
And the machine shop, I'm aging myself, but it was at one point a really active area, and it's just down the block from Columbus Bakery. And everybody knows where Columbus
yeah.
Bakery is.
Yeah.
No, that's where you have to go Christmas Eve to get your bread.
That's it. So. You got it. Christine, what else we got happening in the area?
Well, I wanted to feature a listing that I have in Ithaca. We've talked about it a little bit before, 42 apartments.
Wow.
It's actually in the town of Lansing, right outside of Ithaca, and it has an Ithaca address. Apartments are almost 100% occupied. They are they're beautiful. They're one- and two-bedroom apartments. Some of them are built as early as 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
95 acres of land adjacent to it if someone wanted to expand. There's a business park on one side. The airport is just down the road. The expansion could be more apartments. It could be solar. It could be a business, you know, continuing the business park. A lot of options. And also just single-family housing.
That's incredible.
Yes. So, and it's been a very busy summer of working on new listings, which we'll talk more about next time.
Great.
It's I think we're going to find that the fall, there's going to be a number of closings we're going to talk about and also some new listings.
That's incredible. These apartment listings that you've got are just... wild, and it's very interesting to me. These are kind of like investments with built-in revenue, right? When you talk about they're already leased.
They already have a cash flow.
That's
and a rent roll. And properties with rent rolls are really my specialty.
Yeah.
So they have a bottom line. You're able to pay your mortgage payments if you have a mortgage on the building.
Yeah.
And that's important.
That's and awesome.
It's much less riskier than doing, you know, ground up development, which
yeah.
people do, and I really admire them for that. But if you're looking for investment that has a little bit less risk, apartments that are almost 100% occupied are generally the way to go.
Can't go wrong there.
No, you really can't. Not as long as you take care of them and you take care of your customer. That's
yeah.
really important because that's I just signed a deal with someone. I said, you know, this is a $500,000 customer. You got to take care of them.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I think not enough people look at it that way.
Yeah, no, it's important because I think, you know, if you're buying something, a product that you can hold in your hand, you know, you look at it in one way. But I think sometimes people don't understand or don't appreciate the value of a lease.
Sure.
And especially a lease that's going to bring you in some good money over.
Well, like you said, that's look at the customer value. We talk about that in every aspect of business.
Yes.
But almost never in property like that. So I really love that perspective.
Well, and it's always less expensive to keep the existing customer than you have than to try to find a new one. And I always felt that way, no matter what business I was in.
That is absolute gold. I think, folks, you got to hear that, rewind, hear it again, because there's no more truer words. You know, it's the best future customer is the existing customer.
Yes, and my customers often give me referrals, which is always such a compliment.
Yeah.
And you take care of them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's it. What else is happening, Christine?
Well, there's a lot going on in the region. Headline last couple of days, Central New York metro area amongst the top 10 in the United States for growth in home sales profits. And that's only going to continue
yeah.
what's going on in the market. It's very exciting. And it was done by an organization that strictly does housing data. And I respect them for that. And I thought that's a pretty cool headline. And you would not have seen that headline 5-10 years ago in
no.
this area. I mean, I often said to my investors, if you want steady Central New York, if you're looking
yeah.
to, you know, go like this, it might not be the place for you, but, you know, you'll be safe and steady. But now I think you're going to really see some appreciations in value.
Christine, could you just take a second and talk about, you know, we're talking about these successes and booms in Central New York, and it's awesome and we love it. But a lot of the rest of the country is experiencing almost the reverse, right?
And yes.
Can you just speak to how that affects us or doesn't, and you know what it's like, because usually it's the situation is reversed. Usually we are the folks in that seat. Any just thoughts or anything like that about the current situation and how we might fare because of some of those other markets?
Well, I think Florida's always sort of been the gold standard for people, just as one example.
Sure.
And one of the problems that Florida's having right now is overbuilding. Mm-hmm. Also, condominiums are having terrible assessments on their properties because there have been some buildings that have collapsed because of they weren't taken care of.
Sure. You
know? And condo associations tend to not want to raise their monthly fees. It's understandable, but you got to take care of your buildings.
Gotcha.
And so now people looking to buy condos down there, as one example, are scared of what's happening with the fees.
Yeah.
And I think that that is having an impact. And I think climate change is having an impact also. The gorgeous weather in Southern California where there's fires and in Florida where everybody wants to go for the sunshine is just not as golden as it used to be.
That's absolutely true.
And our winters are generally not as bad as they used to be here. And people are missing the four seasons, I think, when they move away.
Yeah.
So, and we have water, you know, which is one of the reasons that we're growing the way that we are.
Yeah.
And a lot of other areas really don't have the water that they need.
I see. Wow. That's incredible. It's a good place to be. Like I said, it's a different change of pace because we've been on that side of the coin, I feel like, for many, many years.
And I love going to visit the other areas also.
Yeah.
And certainly they will continue to have some growth. But I do think that people are more cautious than they used to be. And we are finding people moving out of some states.
I promise this is my last off-topic question. That's just real quickly, from an investor standpoint, should they be looking at some of these markets where prices are coming down? Is it time to buy low, so to speak?
You know, I think it depends upon where you're looking. They're not all going to come back with the appreciation that
yeah.
you get, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I think that if you can be patient, you'll probably be okay. It's kind of like New York City, where sure. sometimes New York City has a bit of a housing bust, but it always comes back.
Yeah.
But if you're in a situation where you're going to retire in 3 years and you're going to need your money from your house, I would say it's probably not the best thing to do.
Don't be looking into flipping or anything just
yet.
No,
definitely not. And you know, in flipping, we should talk about that on another day. But you know, flipping is not always what
everyone sure.
thinks it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's because so many people have gotten into it.
Well, we see those TV shows.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's not as easy as it's people say it is.
Yeah. No, I can.
Without question.
I can believe it. Yeah. Sort of back on track here. Your home in Syracuse, we're building even more apartments for our students, right?
It's amazing, yes. So I wanted to just mention the standard apartments up by the university. It's about as close as you can get without being on university property. And they're looking to finish 200 units with 600 beds in them. And it's coming along. It's right next to the Temple Concord, Concord, which is now retired. And the people who own it really worked hard with the Syracuse Landmark Preservation Board because the temple is very sacred to a lot of people and it has historic significance in the area. And they worked very hard for many years, actually, to make it work.
Oh, wow.
So I think it'll be interesting to see how that goes. It's a beautiful-looking building. And it will, I believe it's going to open next year.
That's awesome.
Yes, very exciting. And another building that's scheduled to open downtown in the next couple of years is called the Gateway Apartments. And what I really like about this location, and you know, in real estate we say it's a cliche, but we say location, location, location.
Hey.
This is on the corner of West Fayette and Elmond Street. Those who know Syracuse know that Elmond Street, when you get off of what is our downtown exit if you're going north, it's Elmond Street. That exit is going to change and is going to come down to a level ground prior to Elmond Street, and it's going to become a community grid. So this location will be at West Fayette, which is about three blocks from where you come off 81 right now, and Elmond Street. And I think that strategic location is amazing.
Yeah.
They plan to open 283 apartments.
Wow.
6,000 square feet, first floor retail space, which will be really cool around there. You have the hospitals, you have the university.
Yeah.
You have tons of employers in the area. And they recently received IDA approval, which is our industrial development organization, which we'll talk more about at another podcast, but they've received discounts on their sales tax and some other things that will be required to build it, and also have a tax agreement with the IDA.
Nice.
And we'll pay a nice fee to the IDA, which is how we're able to fund these sort of things.
That's what keeps it going, right?
That's what keeps it going, yes.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's pretty busy in central New York right now, and I suspect it's only going to get busier.
Hey, that's good news.
It's very good news.
It's good news for all of us. With that, Christine, I think you've got a much more educated in the world of real estate guest about to join us.
You're going to like Harry. Harry's a lot of fun, and really, he knows Syracuse and his stuff.
I'm excited to hear it. So without further ado, I'm going to dip out of here and let you run the show. And thank you again for having me on. And I love doing this. I love going over these listings, and you give me more and more to look at when I'm home and should be doing other things.
Thank you, Matt. Well, we're back with my guest today. This is my friend Harry Harkaway, and Harry is the owner and broker at Harkaway Commercial Real Estate. Welcome, Harry.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I thought we could start out with telling a little bit about your company and what you do, and then we can talk about the project we're working on together.
Sure. I founded Harkaway Commercial in 2021. I'm a commercial real estate broker, as you stated. I've been working for a lot of developers and owners throughout my entire career. But in 2021, I decided to start my own company. So I essentially help out a lot of owners selling and leasing commercial space. So I specialize in office, and occasionally I do industrial and retail and a little bit of land, but I would say predominantly office.
In our business, it's hard to only do one thing because our clients do multiple things.
That's true.
Right. And that's kind of, it makes it more fun, too.
Yeah, that's true. You get exposed to a lot of different real estate sectors.
What do you think is the most fun project you're working on right now?
Well, we're selling, you and I actually are selling a historic building. In fact, Neeson Creek on Pearl Street will be 100 years old next year, the owner informed me. And we are selling this historic structure, and that's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting.
Because, you know, it's a... industry. It's he does small machinery and tooling, and they've been doing this again for 99 years, and it's really a cool building. It's, you know, exposed brick and hardwood floors, and it's right near downtown. In fact, they're building a new entrance onto what will replace I-81. So we're marketing it, and we're both trying to sell it.
And where is that entrance going to be compared to the building?
Right in front.
Right in front. So pretty much where it is now.
Yes.
Okay, right. So I talked a little bit about the Pearl Street entrance earlier, and that is, I think that's, you couldn't get any more convenient than that.
No, in fact, Pearl Street will also, when you exit the building and you turn left, rather than going onto 81 or the new 81, if you go left, the elevated highway would be taken down, so when you walk a block you'll go right to downtown.
Will that be a two-way street at that point? It's one way now.
Yes, I believe it'll be a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. I know there's still some things that are being finalized.
Yes. Right. But the I-81 flyover, did appear that it would be a two-way.
So the building has room for how many apartments?
Well, if a buyer elected to convert it, there's a basement and three floors, and we did have a local architectural firm in Architects do what we call a test fit or floor plans, and they fit in about 7 or 8 smaller units per floor. So at the max, I would say 24 units, mostly studios and a few one bedrooms could be placed in the current structure. And then right across the street from it, there's a larger parcel, and right now it's a warehouse, and it could be taken down for additional parking, or in fact, some of it could be used for indoor parking.
And that warehouse is included in the price?
It is. We're listing it at $800,000 for the structure plus the additional parcel.
Right. But including the parcel, though.
Yes.
Right. So that parcel right now is used basically for storage and some machining.
That's right.
And it could be indoor parking?
Yes.
Or it could be taken down for outdoor parking or a combination of both?
Yes. And we're also not excluding the opportunity for other companies of industry. Several have looked at it already.
Yes.
That are interested in having close-in manufacturing, tooling, warehousing, because the building was built to be manufacturing and has nice floor loads to support that.
And a very cool old elevator in it.
Yes.
An equipment elevator.
Yes, a manual operating elevator.
Right.
Going from basement to the third floor.
If someone wanted to continue as a machine shop or some other type of industrial use, I know the owner would be willing to stay on for a while as a tenant. and part of the building, which could be helpful to someone economically.
For next year, which would be his 100th anniversary, as I mentioned.
Yes.
I know that's another unique opportunity for someone who were to buy the building, whether they were to use two floors and allow the current Neeson Crick company to stay in one floor, or if they plan a longer-term conversion to apartments, it takes a while to get into the registry and qualify for all the historic tax credits. So during that waiting period, income could be received by the current owner who would be a tenant.
Yes. So that can be helpful to someone who's looking for some cash flow while they're doing their future plans for the building.
Yes, it really could be an ideal situation for someone either converting or an owner-occupant.
So I know we have St. Joseph's Hospital in the neighborhood. Can you talk about some of the other employers in the area?
Sure. Well, certainly the largest one would be we'd have National Grid and we have St. Joe's, and all the major hospitals are I consider, in close proximity. But St. Joe's is clearly the largest employer in proximity to the building.
And we're about two blocks off of James Street, which is a major thoroughfare in the area. Great bus service.
Yep, that's true.
And people can easily walk downtown if they're working downtown, too.
Yes, in fact, it's right next to Nettleton Commons, which was converted a number of years ago to apartments. There are 61 of them, and it's 100% full, and you know it's been a success. And that was a historic project, and people do like the proximity to downtown because it's not in downtown, but it's very close.
Right. Nettleton was really one of the first downtown buildings to convert to apartments.
Yes.
And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes. You had direct experience with it.
I did. I brokered that building a few years ago.
Which is what brought us together.
Yes.
With Nettleton and then to the Neeson Crick building.
Absolutely. And the two buildings actually used to be attached.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
So there's a lot of history there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for people who are interested in a building like that. Did we tell them how many square feet it is?
Well, we said there was four stories, including the basement, and each the building is 17,160 feet.
The main building.
Yes. Yes. So the lot is about the other lot where we talked about the building that could be torn down into parking or used as indoor parking is approximately 7,500 square feet. And then the big building, I say it's generally 5,000 feet per floor. So that's 555, 15, plus the basement. So we call the whole thing 17,160.
Great. So there's a lot of room. And it would be a good mid-size apartment complex.
Yes. 24 units. And based on the recent studies I've seen downtown, and I know you've seen them as well, I mean, we're always over 95%. Occupied. I mean, they built the Treasury. That was the conversion of the M&T Bank building, and I think that's close to 100%.
Yes.
Right next door, I mentioned Nettleton Commons, 61 units. That's 100%. And VIP Structures converted their Webster's Landing, and I believe you had Mike Durkin on last week.
I did.
And I'm sure he confirmed that that's 100%.
Yes.
So we can't stop building them fast enough for people who want to live near or close to downtown. I wish the commercial office space was as vibrant, but it is making a comeback.
Yes.
Certainly with Micron's influence. But generally, the bright star are the apartments.
Without question. I think that they've brought thousands of people living downtown, mm-hmm. working downtown, and eating and playing and, you know, all the things that one does around their neighborhoods.
Agreed.
Yes.
Downtown is having a renaissance, certainly with housing. And as you say, the amenities that will follow.
Yes.
Office is fairly status quo, but I have seen an uptick.
Good.
Part of it is due to the conversion of office space to apartments, so that's lowered the supply.
Right.
So the overall occupancy levels, of course, as a result, are a lot higher. But also, Micron itself, you know, is taking, I think, close to 20,000 feet.
A full floor.
Yeah, full floor. And I did a couple engineering firm deals over at Washington Station, who wanted to be in proximity to Micron, or at least they're affiliated with Micron, and they took some, you know, large spaces. So we've definitely seen an uptick in leasing, and I think a lot of it is due to Micron, our new favorite neighbor to the north.
That's right. And one of the nice things about living downtown is that you'll have the advantages of Micron without having to be in the Micron environment and all the traffic and the road construction that's going to go on, and all to be very positive in the long run, but probably a little painful in the short run.
Yes, I never thought I would ever complain about traffic
in Syracuse,
New York, except for when there's festivals, but now there's legitimate traffic.
There definitely is, and I think we can all be grateful for that.
Yes.
So, great. Well, Harry, are any office projects you're working on right now you want to talk about? Anything you have available?
Franklin Square.
Great area.
Is maybe one of the highly coveted office space areas in town. Again, close to downtown, but not in downtown. Free parking. We have some space available. We had a tenant, and they... out of Binghamton, and they went back to Binghamton after being in our building for about 25 years, and we leased half of it to Equitable.
Great.
That moved from downtown, Equitable Towers, took half a floor. So it's sort of rare, and we have 11,000 feet, which we can divide, in Franklin Square.
That is unusual. Which building?
507 Plum Street.
Okay. Nice building.
So that's my...
Right along the creek walk.
Yes. So that's the selfless plug for Franklin Square, but we usually don't have to plug ourselves because it's really a high demand area for office space.
It is.
Which really is the only area, I would say, that has such a high demand.
We're going to work hard to change that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, downtown's coming back, and Franklin Square is strong, close in is strong, and the suburbs remain a little more of a challenge in the office sector.
Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens in the next 5 years or so with Micron and the changes that are happening. People may want to relocate to areas of the county they hadn't thought of, as maybe the northern suburbs get more expensive.
Yeah, that's true. We read about the old Lafayette Country Club potentially becoming a planned development.
Yes.
You know, which of course is very prevalent in Florida, but not so up here, where they have a clubhouse and maybe nine holes of golf and and trails, and like that would appeal to, me.
It would appeal to me also, and I think it would appeal to a lot of people who are moving to this area too.
Yes. Somebody who doesn't want a big house and a lot of land, which a lot of us have, and it'd be nice to start seeing some of these developments, which I know the county executive is pushing very hard on for a little high density.
Yes.
And I think you and I as realtors certainly promote that.
Most definitely. We just have to get the towns in line on it now.
Totally agree.
Yes. Good. Well, this is a good time to segue to Robin Cortese with Visit Syracuse to continue the conversation about the area and our growth. Thank you, Harry.
Well, thank you, Christine.
And we're back, and I'm so happy to introduce my friend Robin Cortese to everyone. Robin is with Visit Syracuse, and as I said earlier, she's the brand champion and community marketing executive for Visit Syracuse. Robin, could you tell us a little bit about Visit Syracuse and maybe what brought you to them?
Of course.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, thanks first and foremost for having me on today. I really appreciate the opportunity and the share with respect to Visit Syracuse and my team's behalf. A bit about, Visit Syracuse as a whole. I think it's important to know that they are a destination marketing organization on behalf of Onondaga County, Central New York, Syracuse as a whole. And what we do is really focus in on bringing building on economic value into our area and making sure that Syracuse and Central New York is highlighted when people are considering making a move or creating new endeavors within various communities. So we help promote and brand our city and the surrounding areas by pointing out, whatever there might be available with regard to monies to help that development in our area. We work with the film industry. We work with television as well, focusing in on new residents moving into our community and small to mid-sized business, larger business, industry build, economic development as a whole. So that's our focus, and tourism, conventions, events, everything that goes into building on our brand as a community's whole.
So I am in commercial real estate and business brokerage. And what kind of services can you provide to people who are interested in making investments in the marketplace?
Sure. It's first about knowing what's available. And of course, you know, with your business as a whole and how you market yourself, knowing, you know, who's looking to sell, the growth opportunity there for new people that are making investments in the community and looking to come to Central New York. I mean, certainly when we talk about Micron putting a global view on Central New York and Syracuse as a whole, people are looking to make investments within our community. So aligning with the local real estate developers and people such as yourself that have the inventory, know the businesses that are looking to broker. We see and receive a lot of telephone calls with people that might have, you know, a need to come into the community because their significant other was hired to work at a specific location, but they have the means and the funding to build on a new business of their own. So that's when we would look to align them and collaborate with somebody like yourself.
That's terrific. I was really happy when I was looking through your brochure online to see that you have a real regional outlook on the area. I know it's called Visit Syracuse, but Syracuse is so much more than the city of Syracuse itself, although it's pretty cool. So often people don't, I think one of the problems we've had in our area in the past is we haven't thought about ourselves regionally. It's been almost a little competitive between the different municipalities and the different areas. And I think it's terrific that you're marketing, the Mohawk Valley, for example, I noticed, and Oswego County and some of the areas that are, you know, right around Onondaga County in Syracuse. But because Syracuse is really the name that people know for the most part. And a lot to do with our basketball team, I think. But, yes. And that's nothing wrong with that. Go Orange, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the region and how everyone's working together now? Because I think it has improved.
Sure. It's really about the local chambers and the other destination marketing areas coming together and collaborating on Erie Canal Centennial. This is what's happening. You know, the footprint for Central New York is so vast, to your point. We need to align with our partners to talk about what their mission and their drive is, what's happening within their communities, because people that are traveling into this particular area aren't necessarily just going to, there's no guarantee they're going to stay here and they want to see everything. So what we do is we really collaborate with our neighboring markets and say, hey, this is also available to you. You might have relatives in the Mohawk Valley region. You might have people that are deeper into the Finger Lakes. So it's always good to lean into our partnerships and to be able to put together that whole recommendation and that package. And, you know, that's what we do on a daily. And we share each other's sites. We put people into touch with people directly. So I hope that answers your question. But it's really about tailor-making a program for each individual that has a specific need or wants, you know, information that's of greater value to them at that particular point in time.
So if someone like me or other people in the business are bringing new people to town, then we should have them visit your organization and sit down and talk about the opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been working a lot with, as an example, the medical industry right now and medical tourism. And I keep on my vision board on a daily basis, I look at this and it says, keep the money here. And I think that is, you know, of the utmost importance to think about what we shoot for on a daily basis. And that's to help feed our own community, build on our own brand, and create a greater understanding of what is here for people and making sure that, you know, we're just promoting that on the daily. And that's what the initiative is.
Are you making any changes to your organization or tweaking certain protocols to deal with Micron and the hopefully 30 to 40 to 50,000 new people to come to our market?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's a big, big focus and global view. I mean, obviously, the spotlight is on Syracuse right now, and it's an exciting time. I mean, the infrastructure, working closely with 81, and what their projected view is. I mean, Tanisha Murphy coming in, speaking with us about what's happening within specific areas. And I think what's super cool about having those types of affiliations with the 81 Project, as an example, is if we have a convention coming in, they will halt an area, you know, of work in order to make sure that there is an ease, you know, of travel for that particular convention coming in. And our convention sales team and the support really works in lockstep with the project and, you know, with their convention goers. So I think that is one of the best kept secrets, that there is flexibility and that development is really in tune to what we're bringing into the community. Because if they have a wonderful experience here, how that grows, well, that could grow. And hey, I, you know, came to Syracuse. I love the area. It's absolutely beautiful. They have the seasonality, all of the things that are positive. And maybe they bring their significant other because they hear of another opportunity for employment that they want to delve into a little bit further, you know, with an agency here. So that's just one of the examples. But, you know, understanding who in the development stage is looking to align with a new build, the people that are buying buildings and creating storefront space and, you know, apartment space. And we hear about these things that are being searched for or are happening, but yet not ready to announce. You know, the spread out into the east side. I mean, certainly, you know, that's where I am right now filming with you, but boy, the growth here in the Fayetteville, East Syracuse and Manly's market is really something to watch. You know, the developers coming into here and the restaurateurs that are building out in this market and the things that are happening. I mean, when people say in our community, we'll believe it when we see it. If you're not seeing it now, I don't know what to say to you. I mean, obviously, I mean, the momentum, you can feel it. I know you see it. I see what you do. The people that are reaching out to you to make investments in our community and, you know, look for those opportunities, and the opportunities are here. I know people that have not listed their businesses yet, but they're waiting and they're ready, you know, and I think, you know, the time is now to act on, you know, just that, you know, see whether or not, you know, this is going to, you know, land well for you as a business owner and, you know, and go from there. I honestly know a number of people in our area that are just waiting for somebody to approach them.
Well, that's very interesting and exciting too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's true. There have been times, not everything has happened that people said was going, that people and organizations have said were going to happen. And mm-hmm. I think we're now seeing truth though, and we're seeing things happening. And we're even seeing new retail, which is kind of exciting because we haven't seen new retail in a long time. And,
right.
and out your way, you know, there's a new Warby Parker's, which is a cool chic store. We're getting an IKEA at Destiny USA. We weren't getting new retail. In fact, we were losing retail. And I think it's fun to see that these, you know, kind of big city places are coming to Syracuse.
Sure. And all of those things need to happen, you know, to provision for what this explosive growth is going to look like for us. You know, the aquarium, you know, being built. I know that there are a number of, you know, points of view with respect to that. I am for the aquarium. I'm for the attraction. People and families need places to visit. You know, the amphitheater was one that people had a very strong opinion about. Look at how that's played out. I was there for, you know, the Blues Festival and that happened recently, the Country Festival, and thousands of people. The eateries that, you know, are there coming from their, you know, dining rooms and having food trucks there. It just is really heartwarming to see. And people love it.
people are having fun. And that's important. And I'm an aquarium advocate too. Whatever city we go to visit the aquarium, and it's great fun. And people can now spend half a day at the zoo and half a day at the aquarium when it opens. And I think that will give people full day things to do.
That's right. And people, you know, to that point, they're thinking outside of the box with respect to marketing and branding their businesses, to host meetings and conduct interviews. I hear a number of people that are taking people to the creek walk. They're walking the, you know, Rosemont Gifford Zoo as well. And they're doing it in a different way to really get them outside of the office to, you know, see our city and experience something different. And you never know what's going to come out in that course of conversation as well. So it makes people really comfortable. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm totally with what's going on in our marketplace. I think it's a very exciting time. And they say it's the biggest thing to happen to Syracuse since the Erie Canal. So yes. That is it's a wonderful time to live in the area and be in the area and work in the area. So Robin, if people want to reach your office, how would they do that?
Yes. It's if they want to reach us directly, I would say visit syracuse.com will always be, you know, the way to go. I mean, certainly hit the site because there's an event calendar. I think for businesses that host events or nonprofits that are having events and fundraiser opportunity as well, music festivals, anyone can post for free their events. So I, you know, always tout that and to, you know, make sure we're right across from the atrium. So down on Water Street.
Yeah, a great time to visit downtown Syracuse too, and you're in a very, very cool building.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for being with us. I hope that you'll come back again and talk about some more things that are happening in the Syracuse area as our exciting developments evolve.
We'll appreciate that. And thank you again for the opportunity as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So thank you very much to my special guests this week. It's been really exciting to have two people that I really enjoy as friends as well as business colleagues. Join us on our next podcast where we're going to talk about buildings that are going up or have just recently been completed on vacant land, as well as land where buildings have been taken down and the land is being completely repurposed. Our focus so far has really been on renovations of existing buildings and repurposing. And I think it'll be exciting to take a look at some areas where there really has been no development at all and it's now happening. So I hope you'll join us again. And thank you again for joining us today.